and it's excellent in terms of incorporating all of our interests and everybody, and it'll make us an opportunity to officiate life, laughter, and love on the Georgetown Circle.
All right. On that note, is there a councilman that will introduce that?
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Cole.
George. Thank you, George.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, George.
Thank you very much.
This will be advertised, and we'll have a public hearing in hopefully the next few weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Right, 3 weeks. Mr. Robert Stewart, please.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here again. Mr. Lucky sends his regards. He's home recuperating. Sorry that he couldn't be with you today. Last Wednesday afternoon, Sussex County Engineering Department and paramedics opened bids for Sussex County Paramedic Station number 102 to be constructed in Laurel and Sycamore Road. We have a low bid that we'd like to ask for your award today, and I have a motion. If you need any more information, I'll be glad to provide it to you at a time, but I have a motion I'd like to read.
I believe the council members were provided in their packet the bid sheet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Low bid was $142,300.
Yes.
Is the base bid.
Yes.
And are we going to be approving the heat pump, the geothermal, and the tankless hot water heater as well?
No, just the base bid and the geothermal heat pumps.
Okay.
The hot water heater doesn't come in this program?
No, it wasn't. We weren't able to get it from the low bidder. But we could not accept that option from them at that time.
We could not get what?
We could not accept that option because they were not the low bidder on the tankless hot water heater.
Oh, you mean from TEMCO?
Yes.
Yeah, from
You had one from Wharf.
From who?
Wharf for Construction out of Milford. You had a low bid on it. Maybe I misunderstood it.
What we're electing to do is to ask for the council to award the low bid for the base bid plus the one option at this time.
Okay.
We will probably at some point in time ask for requotes on the tankless hot water heater to make sure we get the lowest bid possible on the tankless hot water heater, which will be a minor add-on to the project at a later time.
Somewhat like a change order?
I just wondered why that
won't come in the form of a change order. It will be 3 written quotes for that, or we'll use the quotes that we had from the bids.
What comes in the project? The overall project is a regular tank hot water heater. The tankless is just an add-on option that we did. So,
okay. Read the motion, please.
I didn't quite understand what you're saying.
We are going to award the bid today, hopefully, on the on the building and the geothermal unit. In a couple weeks, they'll bring back a proposal for the tankless hot water heater well as.
Why did we ask for the bid on the tankless if we're not going to use it?
Because that low bidder is not going to get the base bid. In other words, we can't give it to TEMCO right now because they don't have the low bid on that part of it.
Okay.
That would have to be awarded at a later time. So we'll be coming back to the county and asking for approval for a tankless hot water heater later, not today.
We can only award to one company. We could not. We couldn't pick.
Jump
like,
all over the place.
Right.
Yeah, we can't pick and choose.
The low price on that.
We asked for a base bid and 3 options. We're selecting the base bid and only one of those options because that's where they came in as the lowest, and we elected to include that one option of the geothermal heat pumps.
I understand what Dave said. He said we can't award one bid at a time on this building.
Right.
Although we asked for. Looks like 3 or besides that, base bid.
Well, it was our hope that with the base bid and with the additional options that if any of them came in as low that we'd be able to add them onto the base bid and award them like we are going to award the, or hopefully going to award the geothermal today with the base bid. So be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Project 09-04, the Sussex County Emergency Medical Services Laurel Station number 102, be awarded to TEMCO Builders Incorporated of Salisbury, Maryland at the alternate bid amount of $152,090.00, which includes the base bid amount of $142,300.00 plus the option for the geothermal heat pump system, $9,790.00.
Can I get a motion, please?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
And a second, please?
Second.
And is there any discussion, please?
Just the original engineer, or your estimate was what?
$167,900.
Your estimate is $167,900.
This puts us about $15,000 ahead of where we hope to be this time.
All right. Any other questions? If not, we'll call the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hickey?
Good afternoon. I have one item today, and that's to ask you to repeal a county policy that was adopted back in 2000. There seems to be a lot of confusion about what this is, and what I'd like to do is just tell you what it is, tell you what the problems are, and ask you to vote on that. And you should have had something in your packet that explains all of this. As owners of a public use airport that gets federal funds, we're obligated by a lot of our grant agreements for certain things. One is to make the airport available as an airport to all types, kinds, and classes of aeronautical activity, and that includes commercial activity. And we also have to provide a reasonable opportunity for the public to compete for the privilege of providing commercial services at the airport. Since it's our airport, we have the right to establish terms and conditions for people's use of the airport. The only thing that the FAA really cares about in this manner is that the terms are reasonable and not unjustly discriminatory. And those are two very important terms, and that's really why I'm here today. Other than that, we can meet those obligations any way that we want to. However, the FAA strongly recommends that every airport establishes a threshold level of service for operators of businesses at the airport. This is kind of the ante for getting into the game out there. And they refer to this level of service as minimum standards. And it's there to ensure that there's a safe, efficient, and adequate level of service being provided to the public at the airport. But once you have a set of standards, you have to apply that equally to all the aviation business operators out there. There's some of the things that are in a minimum standards policy. How do you apply for a business? What are the reasons you could be turned down? Any kind of experience or certification requirements that the airport owner thinks you should have. Facility requirements, very specific facility requirements, how many square feet of office space or hangar space, ramp space, and then personnel requirements, how many certified mechanics or flight instructors, hours of operation, that type of thing. Having one of those documents benefits everybody. It benefits us because it helps ensure that we're complying with our federal agreements. And it also promotes the orderly development of the airport and the businesses at the airport and the services that are provided to the public. It also benefits the businesses that are at the airport because it provides them with a level playing field for which to compete at the airport. And it protects them from unfair competition from substandard service providers out there. And it gives them kind of a basis for planning their business and moving ahead. And we do have one of those documents, and that's the one that was in your packet this weekend. And we do have a minimum standards document. It was adopted in 2000 by the county council at the time. And there are some problems with it, but I think we're not meeting some of our federal obligations. The whole document is kind of geared towards somebody who wants to enter start a business at the airport. And they refer to that as a fixed base operator. Or an FBO, and like I said, it's geared towards somebody wanting to enter into an agreement with the county to have a business out there. But if you look at the definition of what an FBO is, it says it's somebody that already has an agreement with the county to operate a business. So there's some problems with the whole definition section in this document. And as you know, we have three documents out on the street right now for public comment. One of them is a definitions document that's going to conflict with this, and it's going to supersede it hopefully very soon. So the definitions part of this really, really needs to be removed. The other thing wrong with this document is it leaves out a whole class of businesses, and that's your mobile service providers or independent operators. The document assumes that somebody's going to want to rent space from us at the airport, rent a facility, have a staff, be there 9 hours or 8 or 9 hours a day, which is some of the business we have out there now. But It leaves out those mobile service providers, the mechanics and the flight instructors that don't have a facility there. They come out to the airport and provide their services to the public without having, you know, a lease for property or something. So we're leaving out, you know, we don't have a document we can apply to everybody, and in that sense, we're being discriminatory. And remember, that was one of the things I said we can't do. The application section of this is really geared towards the business that has a facility, and it leaves out those mobile service providers. So again, we're being a little bit discriminatory. And then there are sections, as you saw, for the different types of FBOs or businesses, one being an aircraft repair FBO. And again, this makes no allowance for the independent mechanic that comes out to the airport. So we're imposing restrictions on one set of businesses doing basically the same as another set that we're not imposing similar conditions on, and the FAA considers that to be discriminatory. There's a section on aircraft lease and rental FBO, a business that just rents airplanes to the public. A lot of those requirements, I think, are unreasonable. One is that the business has to have an FAA-certified instructor. You know, if you're just renting airplanes to the public, is there a need to have somebody to teach somebody how to fly? That may be a little unreasonable. We also tell aircraft rental companies that they have to have at least two aircraft, one of which has to be a four-seat airplane, and one of them has to be capable of instrument flight. You know, it could be the same four-seater. That leaves out an entire class of aircraft. It's called light sport aircraft. Light sport aircraft are one or two seats. You know, they're very sophisticated airplanes, and they probably didn't exist back in 2000 when this document was adopted. And they're mostly intended for somebody with what they call a recreational pilot certificate, which is kind of the lowest level of pilot certificates you can get. Recreational pilots can only fly one passenger at a time, so there's no reason to have four seats. And they're not going to fly in instrument conditions anyway. So the four-seat and the instrument restrictions are a little bit unreasonable for a company that just wants to rent light sport aircraft to the public. We had a company last year that came over from Maryland. That's all they do. They rent light sport aircraft and teach people how to fly them. So all they have is one- and two-seat airplanes. They wanted to expand their business to the Sussex County Airport. And at the time, we couldn't work out the hangar arrangement, so they kind of went away. But if we had, we would have had to get out our minimum standards policy and enforce the four-seat requirement and instrument flight capability, and which would have been unreasonable, and we would have lost that business. There's a section on flight training FBOs. Again, the same thing, a four-seat aircraft and one capable of instrument flight. And again, this would discriminate against the light sport aircraft people, and it would also discriminate against helicopter training. Helicopter training would be covered under this, and most helicopter training is done in two-seat helicopters. So again, we're discriminating against certain classes of aeronautical activity, and that's one of the things I said that the FAA doesn't allow. We do have flight instructors that are operating at the airport without any type of an agreement with the county, which is another issue for another day. But we are not applying this standard equally out there at the time. Another thing that we're having happen out there has to do with aircraft storage FBOs. We have an agreement with Georgetown Air Services to provide aircraft storage services to the public, and we impose insurance requirements on them, at least all the lease requirements. However, we've got at least one and probably more of our other tenants who are providing aircraft storage facilities to the public that we don't enforce our minimum standards on and don't have any control over. So again, we're being discriminatory against our Georgetown Air Services in that case, and that's not a good thing.
Jim, if I may, your motion today is a precursor to the development of new standards?
Correct.
Okay. And is that process begun yet?
No, it hasn't.
Okay. Is there any problem with there being a time lag between the void of the old standards and the adoption of the new?
If you have a policy, as I said, it has to be applied equally to everybody, and to have a bad policy that we're going to apply to people just because we don't have a new policy yet, I think that's the wrong way of doing it.
Okay. Have you much more to go over?
No, I'm ready.
All right. Why don't you read the motion, let us consider it, and see if we can get a motion in a second, and then we can discuss it a little bit.
Be it moved, based on the recommendation of the Director, Airport and Industrial Park Operations, that the Sussex County Council rescinds the county policy entitled Minimum Standards and Requirements for the Conduct of Commercial Aeronautical Activities at the Sussex County Airport, adopted February 1st, 2000, and directs the county staff to propose a new minimum standards policy in accordance with FAA guidance.
I make a motion to accept that.
I'll second.
Have a motion and a second.
That is a recommendation.
Have a motion by Mr. Wilson, a second by Ms. Deaver to accept the recommendation. Mr. Higdon, is there any discussion by council? If not,
yes.
Mr. Vincent?
I think I understand your purpose. I guess my question is, if we take this out of the system and issues come up, what do you base your decisions on then?
You'd have to do it case by case and look, which is how we've done it for at least the past 2 years. We really haven't followed this policy and applied it. There are insurance requirements in here. For instance, $3 million of hangar keepers insurance for people that have care, custody, and control of other people's aircraft. Last year, the council approved, when they amended the Sussex Aero maintenance lease, a $200,000 policy. So we didn't follow it then. You know, we just kind of did it a case-by-case basis. And that's kind of, we can do that as long as we're being reasonable and not unjustly discriminatory. We're still meeting all of our federal requirements.
So we've had a problem for at least 2 years, and we've got no new document to correct the problem. Why?
A year ago I was here and requested approval to start a set of policy documents. There's six volumes to it. We've got three volumes so far that are on the street. We really kind of need to do them in order. And minimum standards would be the next one to come up. But it's going to take a lot of effort on not only my part, but it's going to take a lot of public participation. The council is going to have to be very involved with it, because this sets the level of service that you want at your airport. It's going to be a very involved process.
Thank you.
The first step, I think, is to inventory who's doing what out there.
Could I ask the county attorney, are you comfortable with this course?
Well, I believe that what Jim is telling us is that the present set of policy is an impediment to decision-making. And he would prefer not to have a policy and do it on a fair case-by-case basis until such time as he can get approved and introduced a comprehensive and appropriate policy, which I think is a good approach.
Okay. And I applaud you for reaching out to the users of the airport in the formulation and adoption of the new standards. I know I've heard from some that apparently you're reaching out to. Any other discussion from council? If not, we'll call the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Griffin, I believe.